Good morning. We want to welcome everyone to our virtual worship service today. We're glad that you've tuned in. Our services will be a little different today. Since we're not physically meeting together, we will have some recorded songs instead of our usual live singing. I will give the number in the blue book in case you happen to have one of those on hand. So please feel free to sing along with your family. Use this time to worship together at home as well as with your brothers and sisters in Christ. After a few songs, we will have communion. We will also have a message, and we will pretty closely follow our normal order of worship. For the Kentucky Avenue folks, as to your contribution, you can mail that to Brother Dan if you like, or you can just hang on to it until we're able to meet again. And if that runs into an extended period of time, we can make some other arrangements for that. Again, thank you for tuning in to this period of worship. Our first song this morning will be number 2 in the Blue Book. Number 2, A Wonderful Savior.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Number 100. Song number 100, Higher Ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on high. Don't hide.
Number 396, 396, Holy, Holy, Holy. Number 642, 642, How Great Thou Art.
Rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe.
my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Number 268. Song number 268, Thou My Everlasting Portion. Number 337. 337. Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Our scripture reading today comes from James 4, verses 13 through 15. If you received our bulletin via email, the scripture's on the usual place on the back of your bulletin. James 4, verses 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. We are going to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer now, and when we come to the end of our prayer this morning, we will have a few seconds of silence so that each one listening might add their own personal request. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together as your people to worship you, to praise you. We thank you, Father, that we have this technology available, that even though we're physically separated, we can still join together in this period of worship. Father, there's so much going on in the world today, but we know that you are still in control, and we thank you for that. We pray today for the many who are sick, who are hurting, and who need your blessings. Especially at this time, we pray for those who are suffering from the effects of the virus that is sweeping our nation and the world. Father, we pray that you would bring healing. And we pray that you would focus our attention back on you. Father, we all have needs and requests that are on our hearts, and we bring those personal requests before you now. In Jesus' name, amen. The song before communion today will be number 532. Song number 532 in the Blue Book, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Prince of glory.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, I want to read two Bible passages. The first is in John 15:13, where Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The second passage is found in Luke 22:41-44. "He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.' An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." As we partake this morning of the bread and the fruit of the vine, we are reminded of how much Jesus loved us and how much he was willing to do for us. Jesus had to leave his heavenly Father to come to this earth. He had to be born as a human baby, vulnerable and helpless. He had to experience pain. He had to experience temptation. He had to give up things that we consider as our fundamental human rights, things like justice and a fair trial. He even had to give up his own will in order to do the will of his Father. If it had been possible, if there had been some other way, he would have been glad for this cup to pass. But there was no other way. So Jesus came into this world knowing his purpose and knowing what awaited him, and he did it because he loves his Father and because he loves us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for loving us enough to send your own Son to die in our place. As we partake of this bread, help us to remember the terrible cost of his sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, again we come to you remembering the blood that was shed on our behalf and the innocent who was offered up for the guilty. Help us to always remember how much you love us and how much he loved us and the cost that he paid to redeem us from sin. Help us to never take that sacrifice lightly. In Jesus' name, amen. Song number 227. 227, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story."
Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to our little child. For I am weak and weak.
Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in. That wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story of then, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the same old story when you have cause to this world's empty glory is causing me to dim. Yes, and when that world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story Christ Jesus makes me whole. Tell me the old
After a very long and difficult day at the office, a counselor walked through his front door, and he said to his wife, "Look, I've had a terrible day. All I did was listen to one problem after another, so please don't tell me about any more problems." He said, "Today, just give me the good news." His wife thought for a moment, and then she said, "Well, the good news is, two of our three children did not break an arm today." Sometimes it's just hard to find good news, isn't it? And this may seem like one of those times. We're not going to continue in our study in 1 Peter today. We'll pick that up at a later time. Today we're going to talk about the thing that's on everyone's mind, and that is the coronavirus. And perhaps we might see some things that it can do for us. We know this is serious. Our president has declared it a national emergency. In Kentucky, our governor has declared a state of emergency. Doctors and scientists are working around the clock trying to develop a cure. And yet there are some things that we might gain from this. Today we're going to look at three things the coronavirus does, and number one, and very obvious, is it frightens us. There are a lot of things we don't know about it. There are still a lot of unanswered questions, like how long will it last? Will they find a cure? And the question that's on many people's minds, will it affect me, or will it affect my loved ones? You know, the thing is, many people go through life feeling like they have everything under control. They know what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and when they're going to do it. But now suddenly, the world is filled with uncertainty. How many times have you seen or heard something about these uncertain times in recent days? And that brings fear to many people. I read that the early American Indians had a unique practice of training their young braves after a boy had learned essential skills of things like hunting and fishing and so forth. On the night of his 13th birthday, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Up until that time, he had never been away from the security of his home. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. And when he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods, and the boy was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized some wild animal ready to pounce. And finally, after what seemed like an eternity, morning came, and the first rays of sunlight entered the forest. And as he looked around, the boy saw the flowers and trees and the outline of the path, and then, to his amazement, he saw a man standing just a few feet away. The man was his father. All through the night, his father had been right there at his side. He'd been there all the time, just as our Heavenly Father is right here with us all the time. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Apostle Paul said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And yet, the coronavirus causes many to fear. And not only does it frighten us, secondly, it challenges us. It has temporarily changed our entire way of life. It has disrupted our normal routines. Today, you can't go in and have a meal at a restaurant if you wanted to. You can go through a drive-thru or maybe have something delivered. Today, you might have trouble finding certain things in a grocery store, things that you normally buy week after week, things that we take for granted. And you can read today, people are even getting into fights over some of the items on the shelves. There is no more March Madness. Not this year. If you're a basketball fan, you're out of luck. If you're a baseball fan, you're out of luck. Sporting events, concerts, just about all public gatherings have been canceled. Several states have issued stay-at-home orders. More expected to do so. The world is practicing something called social distancing. That's a new term to me, although I think social distancing is not really a new concept. We've been doing that ever since Facebook and Twitter and smartphones came along. But we are avoiding social contact. And some people are having to stay away from members of their own family. The coronavirus frightens us and it challenges us. But here's the important thing, and this is what we're going to focus on today. The coronavirus reminds us. It reminds us, for one thing, that things can change so very quickly. 3 months ago, no one had even heard of the coronavirus, at least not around here. And what were we doing in this country? We were working our jobs. We were making our plans. We were watching the stock markets. We were going about our daily routines without a thought. Things can change so very quickly. And those words James spoke in James 4:14 become all the more real now, don't they? James said, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow." The coronavirus reminds us things can change quickly. The coronavirus also reminds us that we're strangers and pilgrims here, as the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. We're just passing through. And our text in James today reminds us this life is not permanent. It's temporary and fragile. James said, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." The truth is, many of us on this planet go on like we're going to live forever until something big grabs our attention, and something big does have our attention now, doesn't it? But I want you to know this morning that there is some good news. For one thing, we can put this time to good use. The psalmist said in Psalm 90:12, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The New Living Translation there says, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom." And this is a time in which we can grow in wisdom. I'm sure you've noticed we can get so caught up in our day-to-day routines and in the busyness of life that we can sometimes lose sight of what is truly important. And then when some catastrophe takes place, or perhaps we suffer some great loss, our priorities begin to fall into a different order, and we are again focused back on what is truly important. And here's what I see as the good news in all of this. The coronavirus reminds us that God is still in control. We can get so wrapped up in our lives and in our plans and in our projects that God becomes just another part of our life. And sometimes God's moved to the very fringes of our lives. And for some, he's been completely shoved out of their lives. I mean, look at where we are in this nation today compared to where we started out. Look at the complete disregard for that which is holy. Look at the lack of belief. Look at how many Bibles never get opened. Look at the gross immorality. Look at the self-absorbed lives. Look at the hatred that exists between the people of this land. We have drifted so very far away from God. Do you know that 160 years ago, the state of Pennsylvania had a law on the books that said, if any person shall willfully, premeditatedly, and despitefully blaspheme or speak loosely or profanely of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, or the Scriptures of truth, such a person, on conviction thereof, shall be sentenced to pay a fine not exceeding $100, and undergo an imprisonment not exceeding 3 months, or either at the discretion of the court. That was in 1860. Well, that seems like a long time ago, right? 160 years ago. Do you know anyone that's 80 years old? That's just two 80-year-old lifetimes. We've drifted a long way since then. We're all familiar with the beautiful words found in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God said to his people, he said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." There's great hope in that verse. But I think it's also important that we notice the verse that precedes it so we can kind of get a sense of the context. In 2 Chronicles 7:13, God says this, the verse right before that. He says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people." Then comes verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Folks, we have to realize that God is still in control, and sometimes events such as like we are facing right now serve as a wake-up call. The coronavirus is a worldwide wake-up call. C.S. Lewis once said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. When we are challenged, when we are frightened, when we are reminded of just how fragile life is, what happens? We're drawn back to God. We're drawn back to Him. And if we allow it, it changes us. Priorities are readjusted. Time with family becomes more precious. Prayers to God become more fervent. And our focus is shifted from the temporary to the eternal. And that's a good thing. You know, years ago, many people ended their conversations, or sometimes started their conversations about their plans, with these words, Lord willing. Remember that? Lord willing, I'm going to go do this or that. That's how James tells us we should live our lives every single day. After he told us that our lives are just a mist that appear for a little time and then vanish, he said in James 4:15, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. God is still in control. Let us center our lives in His will. That is the good that can come out of all of this. Here's some more good news for the child of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, the Apostle Paul encouraged believers who had lost loved ones, and he said to them, you don't have to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And I think there's an important principle there. In these troubling and anxious and uncertain times, we, as God's children, do not have to live or fret or fear like the rest of men who have no hope. We need to tap into the resources that we have. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, the Apostle Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then he said, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We do not need to be afraid because God is still in control. There's an old story about a little boy who had to walk each evening past a dark and scary house. And of course, the neighborhood children all had their stories about that old house and about how somebody had been murdered there and how it was now haunted and so forth. And so this little boy was just terrified to go past that old house. Some grown-ups tried to give him some courage. One man handed him a rabbit's foot and said, here, this is for good luck. That didn't help. Another turned their porch light on to give him a little more light along his way. That really didn't help either. Still another sternly warned, it's sinful to be afraid. Just trust God. But still, the little boy trembled every time he had to go past that old house. And finally, a widow said with compassion, I know what it is to be afraid. She said, I will walk with you past the house. You know, she didn't really do anything to remove the fear. She just lifted it from the child's shoulders and placed it on her own. And that old story reminds me of what David said in Psalm 23, and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. And that makes all the difference in the world for the child of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What a great statement that is. Is the Lord the stronghold of your life? Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped." Does your heart trust in him? Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Where does your help come from? Then we have these beautiful words in Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. I hope that he's your rock today. Elizabeth Cheney wrote these words back in 1859. You've probably heard them. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." We do have a heavenly Father, and he is still in control.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day.
Father, we pray that you would use this disease that is sweeping the world to draw men back to you. we have forgotten you in this generation. We've left you out of our nation, out of our schools. In many cases, we've left you out of our lives. And Father, in this time of uncertainty, will you use it to turn hearts back to you? And as you told your people long ago, Father, help us to humble ourselves. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways. And Father, we pray you will hear us and forgive us and heal our land, both spiritually and physically. Remind us that life is brief, but you are still God, and you are still in control. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for what you have promised us. And we thank you for the hope and the peace that we have in you and in your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
The Lord.